Got to hear him tonight, amen. Appreciate Brother Joe. He'll be preaching for us here in a couple Sundays, and we'll bring him in. Think first Sunday of the year is what we got down and scheduled. I'm looking forward to that already. That'll be a good day. You won't want to miss that one. All right. Luke chapter number 2 this evening. Gospel of Luke chapter number 2. I guess this is our Christmas service, and so I wouldn't normally do this, but it's just kind of been on my heart for the last couple of weeks. And we'll share a little thought with you here out of this. You know these verses well, and maybe look at them in just a little different light. I want to emphasize one particular phrase here this evening. We'll use these verses to do that. Stand with me, if you will, out of reverence to reading God's Word. Are you glad you're here tonight? Amen. I'm glad you are. Well, it's a little cool in here a little bit ago. I seen everybody bundled up. And I think Lucas threw a log or two too many on the fire back there. It's smoking up here in this pulpit. Are y'all hot now? Amen. All right. Lucas, cut her down. Rolling them logs off because I'm about to sweat. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 2. Look with me in verse number, let's pick up in verse 21. Luke chapter 2, verse number 21. The Bible said, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, name above every name. Amen. Name was called Jesus, which was so named to the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The angel said to Mary, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. 8 days later, it's Jewish custom, they wouldn't name their baby boys until it was the 8th day when they would circumcise them and they would give them their name. But Jesus' name was given at his conception when the angel appeared to Mary. He said, call his name Jesus, and they was just obeying the very will of God in concerning this child. The Bible said, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, that would be 8 days. If a woman had a baby girl, it was 8 days, if my memory serves me right, and 40 days if they had a male child. And so 40 days later, the Bible said, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. And this next phrase would be our thought tonight: waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. We'll leave off our reading there. I want to preach tonight out of verse number 25, out of these verses, using a phrase there in verse 25, where the Bible, in speaking of Simeon, said, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. I just want to preach for a few minutes this evening, and we'll not be long. You give me a few minutes, I'll get it out quick. But I want to preach this evening on that simple thought, the consolation of Israel. Father, we love you. And I pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord, as we've sung these songs tonight and these men bragging on the Lord this evening. Lord, we've been able to pray and call on your name. Lord, we're excited about these things. But Father, tonight we're excited about your word, and I pray you'd make it alive in our hearing and in our midst and in our gathering tonight. May it have a stirring effect in our heart, as Brother Joe just sang about how precious the Lord is to him. And Lord, we can say amen to that about our own life. I pray the word of God would stir us up and cause us to, Lord, look upon him who saved us from our sin. And Father, may we find a place of rejoicing and, Lord, a time of praise even tonight, Lord, for all that he is in our life. And Lord, we'll bless you for what you do for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Of course, we understand that in the time when the Lord was conceived in the virgin womb of Mary, that the land of Israel is in great spiritual darkness. Many folk have a form of religion. They have a form of serving God. They have gone through the motions of it all, and yet they haven't had much spirit in it. There's been a deadness to it and much tradition. And yet in the midst of that, we read of certain individuals that evidently had stayed true to God and stayed in tune to God, and that God had been working in their hearts and in their lives. We read of one such individual this evening, according to verse 25, that as Mary and Joseph came and were fulfilling the law of the Lord concerning Moses and concerning how they should present their newborn baby to the Lord and presenting him wholly to the Lord, the Bible said they run into this man there in Jerusalem by the name of Simeon. Simeon, the Bible said, was a devout man, a just man. He was a man that was well respected, evidently, and thought a lot of in his generation. But the Bible makes emphasis here on the fact about Simeon. And my friend, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And we consider this tonight, this phrase and statement, the consolation of Israel. I'm interested in that word consolation. The word there is, it refers to him being busy in this matter of waiting for the consolation of Israel. It means the act of exhortation, encouragement, or comfort. In other words, in a dark day, in a day, my friend, with very little comfort was to be found, Simeon was found waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting on something. He was waiting on an experience. He was waiting on someone to come by and be able to give him the exhortation and encouragement and comfort that his soul so desperately longed for. Webster's defines the word consolation as, listen to this, as the alleviation of misery or distress of the man. And so we plug our definition in tonight. As Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, amen, we could say tonight he was waiting on something or an experience or on someone to come back and alleviate him from the misery and distress that his life was in. We understand even in the land of Israel, I believe Simeon was looking for someone who would come on the scene and alleviate Israel from all the misery and distress in therein. Webster's goes on to define this word consolation as that which comforts and refreshes the spirit. He goes on to describe it a comparative degree as a comparative degree of happiness in distress or misfortune springing from circumstances that abates the evil. And so there's a lot of evil going on in Simeon's day and in Israel in that hour. And what he's doing, he's waiting for someone to come back that my friend has an answer to all the evil of his day. He's waiting on somebody who can come back and put a stop and put in bay all the sin and the wickedness that is going on in his generation. And so he sits there and he waits day by by day. Amen. He knows in his mind it surely there's somebody that has an answer to the way that we're living in our generation. And so he waits for the consolation of Israel. And can I say tonight that the consolation of Israel, it wasn't a thing and it wasn't an experience. Rather, my friend, it was none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, as we consider this tonight, that he found, and can I put it this way, he held what he had been hoping for the day that the baby Jesus was brought into Jerusalem in the temple there. The Bible said, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to that word. And so there was a day, and we find that he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. There was a day that the Lord let him hold that which he had been hoping for. The word waiting in our text phrase tonight literally means that my friend, he had an expectation, he had a longing for, he had a hope and a desire within his heart to be able to say the one that God was going to send to bring comfort, bring consolation, bring encouragement, to bring an alleviation from their misery and from their sin and from their evil. And my friend, he finds the consolation of Israel in none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and their Savior. And so tonight, the consolation of Israel, amen, you might say tonight that it is a title or a name, if you will, amen. It's the expectation of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. As you study this out in the history of this, in Israel's day, the Jews often would recite a common prayer and a common plea unto the Lord and asking him that they might say the consolation of Israel. Them Jews, as they would gather in the holy place in the temple of God, there was something on the inside of them as they understood the word of God that God was going to send a Messiah. He was going to send someone who would bring comfort in their very discomforting situation. And can I say, is that not an appropriate title? Is that not an appropriate way to reference the Lord in it as the comfort of Israel, the consolation of Israel for tonight? What one among us that has said, amen, experienced the Lord Jesus in all his salvation and in all his glory and in all his person, cannot testify tonight that when the Lord shows up, that he brings a comfort and an encouragement and an exhortation. You say, preacher, tonight I'm in such misery and I'm in such despair, I'm in such darkness tonight. Amen. Can I say tonight there's one tonight who is the consolation of Israel, that when he comes and when he stops by, has comfort to share with his people tonight. Amen. And so the consolation of Israel. Let me give you three things in this text this evening, and we'll try to use Simeon and center our thoughts around him tonight as it relates to you and that, and we'll try to magnify the Lord Jesus this evening as the consolation of Israel. You say, preacher, does that mean that he's only the consolation of Israel? Amen. Guy, you're going to find here in a moment that the consolation of Israel is the comfort of the entire world. Amen. It goes beyond the borders of Palestine. It goes beyond, my friend, the walls of Jerusalem. And the consolation of Israel stands tonight and reigns tonight. Amen. As the comforter of all nations, lands, tongues, kindred, and people. And notice, women tonight, the purpose of the consolation of Israel. What is his purpose? Well, we find here again that Simeon is waiting on the consolation of Israel. Amen. You'll notice it according to verse number 30. In Simeon blessing God, he states at G Jesus is the salvation. The Bible said, for man has health seen the salvation. Now, all these years, he's been what? He's been waiting on the consolation of Israel. He finds himself one day down in Jerusalem. He's in the temple. He's walking around. And in the door walks Joseph and Mary. And they're holding and cradling amen, a baby by the name of Jesus. And we'll get to this in a moment. I hope the Lord will let me get it out right. When he seen them two holding that baby, amen, there was something went off in his heart. And he said, there's what I've been waiting on. That's the one I've been looking for. There is the consolation of Israel. And he goes, my friend, as best we know, he never met Joseph and Mary before. My friend, he walks up, he takes the baby Jesus out of their arms and puts it in his, and he looks down and he begins to bless the God of heaven. And he said, now mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Amen. So what am I saying tonight? I'm saying the purpose and the consolation of Israel, according to Simeon, is that my friend, he was going to bring salvation. Amen. The word salvation used here is like it is elsewhere in the New Testament. It simply means deliverance and preservation from danger or destruction. And so he's waiting on the consolation of Israel. He now holds it in his hand. He begins to bless God, and he says, here's what I've been waiting on, and this is the salvation of the Lord. Amen. The consolation, the exhortation, the encouragement and the comfort that he brings is wrapped up in the salvation that he provides. Amen. Simeon, my friend, now holds within his hands and takes into his bosom a very saving grace of Almighty God. And I say the purpose tonight of the consolation of Israel is that he is to bring salvation. In fact, as we've already stated tonight, amen, the Bible said, call his name Jesus, or he shall save his people from their sins. Israel was in danger. Israel had faced destruction in their land. The enemy had come in, and now when Simeon holds baby Jesus, he has the consolation in his hand. He understands that he's come with one purpose in mind, and that is to bring salvation. Amen. Can I say that bears true in all the Lord said about his own ministry? He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. His consolation was not going to be found in a simple philosophy that he proclaimed and taught. He didn't come to teach man, amen, to live a better way. He came to deliver them from their sin. He came to bring a comfort that was rooted in saving them from the very root of their problem. Thank God tonight, I'm glad and I know the purpose of the consolation of Israel. And when you know and hold it and have the salvation of God, you have the consolation of Israel. Oh, this women and that this salvation, according to verse 31, is for all people. Listen to this. Amen. He's known as the consolation of Israel. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 31. Look in verse 30 again. For man has seen thy salvation, which thou, listen now, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Amen. The Calvinists had to choke that one down
Amen. The Bible saith that Simeon, when he held the salvation of the Lord, and he found the consolation that he had been looking for. Amen. He said, I want to bless the Lord, and he's not just for me, and he's not just for Jerusalem, and he ain't just for the Jewish race, but rather this salvation that has been given and brought here this day has been prepared by God and the face of all people. And an ain't notice with me at this two fires and twofold application and is implied after this statement. Amen. Number one, consider this, that in this purpose and the consolation of Israel in bringing salvation to all people, he is referenced as a light to lighten the Gentiles. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. This was a prophecy that was spoken of in the Old Testament. Let me give you two or three verses real quick out of the book of Isaiah. We'll look in Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42 verse 6 and verse 7. The Bible said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Notice with me, flip over a page or two to chapter 49 in Isaiah 49, and in verse number 6, the Bible said, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. In other words, the prophecy was given by the Lord, and I'm going to send a Messiah. He's going to come through the seed of Israel. He'll be in the seed of Abraham. He'll be a Jewish man that conceived in a virgin womb by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thought about preaching that on that phrase over there where the angel said that holy thing. And that's what he was. Are you listening? He was that holy thing, conceived of the Holy Ghost in a virgin womb. Amen. Sent my friend to bring salvation. In that salvation's a comfort. And in that comfort and in that salvation, he's to be the way that's going to lighten the Gentiles. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Well, the Gentiles is you and me. Amen. We're not Jews tonight. We're not of that physical seed of Abraham. Amen. We're them Gentiles the Bible speaks about that live like dogs and live like heathens and live like pagans. Individuals of men and women and families that my friend live as strangers and aliens and those that are distant from all the commonwealth of Israel. And my friend Israel sitting around waiting in them dark ages for the consolation of Israel. When he showed up, he brought salvation and went well beyond the borders of Israel. As a land that was going to shine and would bring light, amen, to every valley low and every mountain high, every tribe of every jungle, every race, every nation, every tongue, every kindred, amen. And can I say tonight, and he shines on tonight, and the fulfillment of this prophecy, I believe, is in the Lord's statement in John chapter number 8 and in verse number 12, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He ain't just the light of Israel. He didn't just come to save that. Amen. Some Jewish folk. Amen. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They turned away the light. Amen. But thank God, as many as received him, of them gave him power to become the sons of God. Even of them that believe on his name. Amen. We preached from that text the other day, and that old Syrophoenician woman showed up the Lord and said, Lord, my daughter, she's very vexed. And the disciples said, shut up, woman. I'll leave leave the master alone, Lord? Ain't she going to quiet her? Amen. And she cried out the more and worshiped him, Lord, save me. And the Lord looked at her and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and it ain't right to take the bread, amen, from the children that sit in the table and give it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, and even the dogs seem to the crumbs that fall from a master's table. And I say tonight, that old Gentile woman, she understood who and what she was. And she knew that in him was consolation, and in him was comfort. And if he would save her situation, that my friend, all would be well. And I say tonight, and he shines on as the light in the world tonight. He is the consolation of Israel. Notice the word Latin in our text, and it literally means to reveal, to uncover, unveil, or to disclose. It indicates the removal of ignorance and darkness by the communication of light and knowledge. And I say that's exactly what he does today. Amen. I mean all the way down in Redneck Cock County, Tennessee tonight. Amen. Those of us who can't even speak good English, and he shines on tonight. Amen. You may be here lost and undead, and he stands as, amen, the salvation and the consolation that you desperately need tonight. And he doesn't just stop with a few religious folk. Ain't God, he's the light, and enlightens the Gentile people. Amen. I'm glad tonight that I know something about his salvation. Amen. I remember the days that I sat in darkness, and I remember the days when, amen, it didn't make any sense. I remember the days when I observed folk that did know the Lord and attended church and wondered why in the world they were so dedicated. What was it that moved them to be so faithful and to worship God? What was this fire that burned in their belly? Amen. Thank God. One day the light got turned off. Amen. And it shined in my heart. And now I know what it is tonight. Amen. Can I say, and I put it this way, I don't know what it is, but I know who it is. Amen. Then light, and it's turned the light on and removed the darkness. Amen. Brother Joe, was it told mouth? Amen. That light in the world and focusing it. Amen. Not on man made light, but on the light that lighteth every man. He is the light of life. Amen. And that's what Simeon was saying when he said, amen, I've been waiting on this. Amen. I found the consolation of Israel in the salvation that is provided. And it ain't just going to affect my life. It's going to affect every Gentile people. Amen. The purpose of it, amen, this application, he is going to be the light that lightens, amen, in Simeon's words, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Number two, notice that he references him as the glory of thy people Israel. Amen. This phrase deals with this salvation that my friend is being offered through the person of Jesus Christ. And my friend, he is not only a light to lighten the Gentiles, but he's the very glory of all the people of all generations of the history of Israel. Jesus and the salvation he brings is the glory of them all. You study the history of Israel, there's some mighty leaders, there's some strong men, there's some great women, there's some people that, my friend, we can look up to tonight. My friend, Jesus, can I put it this way? Jesus outshines them all. He is the glory of all that people in Israel. And consider this tonight. A word glory means to take form or to have an opinion. It means to honor or praise. It's that which excites admiration. You know what Simeon said? I know some stuff about Moses that really cranks my motor. I know some things about Joshua though that he done that, man, it's amazing. But when I hold this little baby in my heart, he ain't even done anything yet. And it ain't about what he's done yet. It's all wrapped up in who he is. He's the glory. Yeah. Amen. He excites admiration. Amen. Of all God's children, Israel. He's the glory of them all. Amen. Literally, it references and refers to recognition. The word glory means recognition. In other words, my friend, there is in him a recognition to be saved, and he is who the Lord prophesied that he would be. Amen. I'm glad he's everything that he said he'd be. Over in Isaiah chapter number 8, it said there's going to be a child born unto you. Amen. And the government's going to be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Amen. Wonderful he is tonight. Amen. I'm talking about the child Jesus bears on his shoulders. All the governments of all the nations, he excels them all. And his name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is Everlasting Father. His name is Prince of Peace. Amen. I'm glad to tell you tonight. Amen. He is the glory of thy people, Israel. He's the one to be recognized tonight as the one that stands out above all. Why? Because he's the salvation that, my friend, ushers in the consolation of Israel. Amen. What Moses could never do, Jesus does. All that Moses taught and all that Moses gave and all that Moses communicated only brought burdens on the people. It only pushed them further down. It only reminded them of how wicked they really were. But friend, when Jesus showed up, amen, he's the one to be recognized. It sets men free from sin and the penalty of sin and the bondage to the law. Amen, I'm glad tonight to report to you, amen, the consolation of Israel has come. You, if you're saved tonight, you hold, amen, in your heart what Simeon held in his hand, the very consolation of Israel. Amen. All the years you lived your life, I don't know when you got saved. Amen. But all them years of your life, you didn't even know that you was waiting on it. Amen. All you say, amen, I'm feeling some preaching coming on. All the days you lived your life and lived it in sin, and you went to bed wondering, is there any more to life than this? Is there anything more that meaningful in life than the life I'm living in? Amen. And one day, amen, the Holy Ghost moved in your life, amen, and led you to the Lord Jesus, and you found out that he's the light that lighteth the Gentiles. He's the glory of Israel. He's all that matters. Ain't God, and you found out that in salvation there is consolation and comfort of life. I'm not comfortless tonight, because I know the consolation of Israel. He saved me from my sin. Amen. Let me give you another point. Man, I'm stretching this on out longer than I want. Notice the path to the consolation of Israel. Now, you'll have to agree with me this evening. I'm not here to debate whether or not in this text. I know the Bible speaks of Simeon as being a just and a devout man. And so, it's likely he's already a saved man. He's already by faith believed that God is going to send him. I understand that. But can I make just an application here that he knows a lot about religion. He knows a lot about Scripture. He can quote you a lot of verses. He can give you a lot of references. He can give you a lot of prophecies. He can show up down at church. But my friend, something changed in his heart when he held Jesus in his hand. He had been waiting on it all them years. He had been hoping for it. He had been wishing for it. He had been, amen, longing for it to be different. And it wasn't different until he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me the path that he was led down that got him there. And it's simple to understand when you read these verses about Simeon on three occasions, three times in these verses, it is said that the Spirit of God was at work in Simeon's leg. Amen. Listen, we're introduced to him. He's devout. He's religious. He's got a scroll under his arm. Amen. He can tell you what the law says. My friend, notice what the Bible said. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Bible said in verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. The Bible said in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And listen, all these years, all he's had is a longing and a desire, amen, for consolation and peace. But he hadn't had it. He doesn't have it, amen, to his life and to his heart. My friend, there's the Holy Ghost. It's in work in his leg. And the Holy Ghost jumps on him and said, there is a better way. And he's on the way. And when you meet up, your life's going to be different. And the Holy Ghost, what's he do? He begins to reveal some things about the Lord and about Jesus in Simeon's leg. And Simeon gets up one day, and the Holy Ghost, and Bible said, and I ain't no Calvinist tonight, amen, but I know this, amen, the Holy Ghost is involved in leading men to the Lord Jesus. He got up that day, and the Bible said by the Spirit he went down to the temple. Amen. It didn't say in the Spirit, it said by the Spirit. That is that divine influence of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Began to work, and Simeon began to allow his life to be led by the Spirit of God that day. Amen. And where'd the Holy Ghost take him? Amen. Took him down to a crossroads. Amen. Where he can be introduced to the Lord and make a choice as to whether or not he'd take him into his arms. And I say, thank God for 17 years. I didn't realize it all. But Joe, the Holy Ghost was a-working in my life. He'd reveal a little bit here. He'd reveal a little bit there. I knew a lot of verses. I had a lot of Bible, I had a lot of service, I had a lot of vain religion, amen. But the Holy Ghost, little by little, amen, began to move upon me and reveal some things to me and lead my life all the way to September the 14th. Amen. September the 14th, 1996. Brother Gerald, God the Holy Ghost said, amen, led me to a place, amen, where it was my choice, am I going to receive his salvation? Am I going to accept the consolation that comes in that name Jesus? You say, what are you saying, Brother Gerald? I'm saying the Holy Ghost, amen, works salvation out. Amen. Listen, I know we got a choice, I'm not preaching that, amen, unconditional surrender. Are you listening to that? Amen. Listen, I know men turn away of the Lord every day. They stop him every day. Can I say it don't keep him from working, and it don't keep him from moving? Amen. Salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There must be a moving and a working. And if you can't come to the Father but by the Lord Jesus, and understand this tonight, you'll only come to Jesus by a Holy Spirit of God, amen, moving and working and revealing and changing your life. Amen. We got a crowd, they profess to be saved, but I'm convinced the Holy Ghost ain't the one that saved them. If he ain't saved you, you ain't saved. If he hadn't got on you and convicted you of your sin and convicted you of your religion and convicted you, amen, of where you're headed in judgment to come, if he hadn't been the one that's opened your eyes and taken the blinders off, amen, if he hadn't been the one that led you to Jesus, you've never been saved. Amen. You know what I'm thankful for? Amen. Now, I made two professions growing up before I got saved at 17. And it was Daddy the first time that led me. Amen. And I had a good daddy. But Daddy led me the first time. And Mama led me the second time. Woo! But the day I got saved, Daddy didn't lead me. And Mama didn't lead me. It was the Holy Ghost that led me. Amen. I'm glad when the Holy Ghost does it. That's why Jesus said, Nicodemus in John 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that a saying of thee, you must be born again. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost moving and working in a man's life. A man that's always fleshly. A man that, my friend, can only live in the flesh. He doesn't have the divine nature of the Spirit of God within him. It's evidence he's never been born again. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that's all it can be, and that's all it'll ever be. Amen. Our churches are, church rolls are filled with folk that, my friend, have been led down some Romans road, and I'm not preaching against that tonight. They've been led down by some man under the point of a decision. My friend, salvation's still of the Lord. Amen. And I know, listen, I know we bump in lines tonight that you can't preach the Bible without understanding that salvation is that sovereign work of God. Amen. You say, well, decided. I just woke up, made a decision one day that I was going to get saved. Listen, if the Holy Ghost wasn't in it, amen, if the Holy Ghost wasn't working there, if the Holy Ghost wasn't revealing there, amen, you can decide all day long. Woo, hallelujah. Bunch of sword the Lord boys running around saying, just say this, amen, just admit this and admit that and believe this and believe that, and boom, you're saved, and that's all there is. Oh, hog wash friend, I can't ever remember a time when I didn't believe in him. I can't ever remember a time growing up in a Christian home, amen, where I didn't believe that the Bible was the Bible and the Word of God. Amen, but it took the Holy Ghost, amen, moving in my life and bringing about, amen, that sovereign work of the grace of God. Simeon was led to him. Amen. And the Bible said that he received him into his arms. You say, what's that mean? That means the Holy Ghost led him as far as the Holy Ghost could lead him. And Simeon said, yeah, I'll take him. Watch this, Brother Mike. The phrase that is used there in the scripture of how that he took him literally means Simeon flew wide open his arms and took him in. Woo, hallelujah. In that moment of time, Simeon turned his back on all his religion. He turned his back on all that the darkness and the age of darkness had given it. He turned his back on all his misery. He turned his back on all his sin. And he flung wide open his arms and said, I'll gladly take him. He's what I've been looking for. He's what I've been waiting for. He's what I need in my life. Thank God for that day. And the Holy Ghost led me as far as he can lead me. And I flung wide open my arms. Said, amen, and I held what I'd been hoping for all those years. Amen. The path to the consolation, it's a Spirit-led path. It's the work of God. Amen. Boy, I feel like preaching right there. I feel like I need to just hunker down right there. It's the Holy Ghost that does the work. Amen. Old fella, a couple years ago in my first church, got on this thing, well, all you got to do is just believe in Jesus. Just believe in Him. If you just believe in Him, well, the devils believe in Him and tremble, but they ain't getting saved. Right. Amen. Holy Ghost works faith and works repentance in the heart of a sinner, leads him down a road, breaks his will, gets him to the place, my friend, where that sinner has to make a choice whether or not they're going to fling their arms wide open and take Jesus and Jesus only. I ain't saved because I said some little prayer. I can't even tell you the exact words that I said that day. I can give you an idea of what I said, and I can tell you what I meant when I asked the Lord to save me, but it wasn't in some prayer. Amen. The Holy Ghost had done led me that crossroad. Amen. And done revealed who He was and made it all come to life in that moment. Amen. And in that moment I said, oh yes, I'll take Him. I'll take all of Him. I'll gladly bring Him into my bosom, and I'm saved tonight because the Holy Ghost led me to Him. Holy Ghost done it. Holy Ghost. It wasn't a preacher that done it. It was the Holy Ghost. He may have used some preachers along the way, but in my heart, I'm telling you tonight, I know I'm saved. Hosanna, I didn't save myself. I didn't lead myself to Him. I didn't pull myself up by my own bootstrap. Bless His holy name. The Holy Ghost put it on the inside. Amen. Born of the Spirit. Amen. They that are born of the Spirit of God mind the things of the Spirit of God. They got it. Romans 8 teaches you and I that those that have been led to the Lord by the Holy Ghost and been born of the Holy Ghost and received Jesus by the Holy Spirit of God, revealing it and making Him real to them, that there's a change that takes place in their life. Amen, there's a change. I can tell you, before I got saved, I didn't like church, didn't want to be in church. I was there physically, but I wasn't there in mind. But when I got saved, then all of a sudden I had a spirit man on the inside. Amen, because He did the work. He led me to the Lord. The Lord did the change, and the Spirit of God moved in and said, they that are born of the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit of God. Amen. Change, the change. When the Holy Ghost does it, there's a change. Amen. The consolation of Israel. You say, how do I know something about that comfort? I'm telling you right now, tonight, amen, I've got a lot of burdens in my life. I've got a lot of ministry burdens, family burdens. Amen. There's things that we all face. But I can go home tonight. Now, acid reflux may keep me up and itching and scratching and shingles and everything else may keep me up on that. But I'm going to tell you, there'll be a comfort on the inside. Amen. Somewhere I can pillow my head and know that if I die in the net, ain't God heaven is my home. No doubt about it at all. Why? Because there's that witness on the inside. Amen. What mom and daddy couldn't do, what I couldn't do, the Holy Ghost did. I'm having a hard time getting off this. Somebody needs this tonight. Brother Dean, the Holy Ghost did it. The Holy Ghost did it. When the Holy Ghost does it, amen, Jesus said, you can't tell where the wind bloweth and where it listeth. Amen, even so is the Spirit in God. You can't, amen, all you can do is look back and say His effect and His influence on your life. Amen, all I know tonight is the wind blowed one day, a Spirit of God moved one day and had an impact on my life, and I'm here and I'm saved tonight. Got comfort on the inside, the consolation of Israel. His purpose is to bring salvation. His path is a path that is led by the Spirit of God, will lead you to the consolation of Israel. And then the praise for the consolation of Israel. Simeon walks in, the Holy Ghost leading him. He sees Joseph and Mary and this little baby. And the Holy Ghost said, right there, that's what you've been waiting on all these years. That's Jesus. Simeon said, yeah, I need saving from my sin. Pulled him into his bosom. Brother Will, and it didn't take him 5 months, 6 months. Nobody had to give him a praise the Lord for dummies class. Soon as he got him in, Bible said he blessed God. Whew. That word blessed there means to laud, to praise, to make big, to lift high. Watch this right here. It's where we get, it's the same word. If you do a word study on it, and I know I'm doing a lot of word study tonight, but the Bible has words and we need to study, so watch this. It's where we get our English word eulogy from. You know what a eulogy is, don't you? Eulogy is that thing you give when somebody's died. You know what a eulogy is? You tell of all the good that person's done. Whew. You know what? He wasn't waiting on a death. It's just been a birth. He's holding Jesus in his hands. His life's just been changed. And you know what he done? He give a eulogy. He began to brag on and testify of all the good things God had done. Amen. Can I say tonight, it's right to praise God. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And the Bible said, if we don't, if we hold back our praise, that the Lord will let the rocks cry out and they'll testify. No, about you, I don't want no rocks doing praising for me. Down there at Douglas Lake, there's all sorts of them river rock all over the place. That lake's going down. You saw them rocks out there. Why, if I don't praise the Lord tonight, I know something about the consolation of Israel. I know something about the Holy Ghost moving and working in my life. I know something about the Lord being taken into my bosom. And listen, I don't need no class on how to do it. If you got Him, you know how to do it. All you got to do is stand up and say, I want to give a word of all the good things God's done in my life. When's the last time you give a eulogy? Woo! Amen. And I ain't getting on you now. I'm just being your preacher now. Amen. But, amen, 6 months ago, man, I asked for testimony. It'd be like popcorn. Last couple weeks, man, I've been asking for testimony and all I'm hearing is crickets. Amen. Y'all might as well say amen. Amen. I thought I heard a gnat burp Sunday morning when I asked for testimonies. We that know something about Him and the comfort He gives have taken Him in, changed by the Holy Ghost of God. Some we have reason to stand up tonight and say, I want to magnify Him. I've got to tell everybody just some good. I can't even tell it all, but I can tell some of the good things He's done. Praise for the consolation of Israel. When's the last time you praised Him? When's the last time you got beside yourself and just give a good testimony? Not about you. Amen. Some folk testify, and I just want to thank God, and it's all about them. It ain't about you. It ain't about what you've done. It ain't about, amen, I need to be real careful right here, but it ain't about what you've done. It ain't about what you've done this week. Testimony ain't about you. A testimony's about to be all about Him. All about Him. Amen. It ain't about my children, how good my children are. It's about how good He is. All about Him. I won't ever want to get the place where I forget it's the consolation of Israel that made the difference in my life. I owe it all to Him. Praise for the consolation of Israel, the path to Him and the purpose of Him. Have you been saved tonight? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your life's been changed? Amen. By the way, if your life's been changed, you ain't got to wear a badge on you. You ain't got to have a little button, a little pin, a little ribbon on your lapel that said, I'm saved. We'll be able to look and tell. Amen. We'll be able to watch and see. Say, yep, there's something different in them. Something only the Holy Ghost could do. Something only Jesus could do. They must know the same consolation that I know. Thank God for it tonight. Father, I love You. Oh, Lord, I want to bless You for Your Word tonight. I want to thank You for the Lord Jesus. Lord, I've got to say this evening, You've been far better to me than I deserve. Lord, all those years I lived around religion and close to it, and you tried to show me and You tried to teach me. And Father, I guess You was leading me all along, and I want to thank You for not giving up on me. But Lord, I want to bless you tonight for the day that you saved me by your grace. Thank you for changing my life. Thank you, Lord, that I know who Jesus is. And all them years of wondering, what is it all about? Father, waiting on being able to feel what it apparently seemed that others felt. And Lord, being able to experience, Lord, what a witness to other people experience. Father, I'm glad that I know something about it tonight. Lord, you've been so personal to me, and I bless your name for it. Help us now this evening as we leave. Lord, as Brother Tim prayed a little while ago, Lord, you blessed us with a good year. And Lord, there's so much to be thankful for. We see folk that are here tonight that have been saved this year. And Father, getting ready to go into a new year with us. And Lord, I pray that you just keep saving sinners. And Father, I pray you keep adding to your church. And I pray, Father, you just keep blessing, Lord, in every way. Help us to grow, Lord, not just in number, but in faith and in knowledge of the Word of God and in wisdom. Lord, help our new converts. Help them to lay hold on and cling to the truths that we declare and preach and the standards we lift up. Lord, we need your help in that matter. Help us, Lord, to raise the standard, to love you with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.